The following message was recorded at the 2011 No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. And now, our featured presentation.
I'm going to just kind of wing it here a little bit. I know John Matthews for quite some time. As he says, he is a distant financial cousin to Clay Matthews. And his kids say he probably runs around knocking everybody over at the house that way. But anyways, he and his wife are wonderful members here at the church, and they do an awful lot. And they have a wonderful, he says, seven children. So
six
children. And how many daughters? And
four daughters.
So it's a very timely topic for him. And his partner, let's see, I had her name.
Shelly
Sopa. And Shelly doesn't have children yet, but she is a qualified daughter. She can, you know, so that makes this team work. So without any further ado, John and Sophie, and just enjoy yourselves today, and we'll they're all set to go there. So
thanks, Dennis.
Okay.
And I'm obviously wearing what my prejudice is here, but actually I didn't wear this Packer jersey for that reason. Number 52, as you know, is Matthews. But that's why, if I forget my name, it's on my back. So that's why I have it on. But how many are Packer fans here? Any Steeler fans here? I was considering maybe taking the jersey off. I might have to take the jersey off so as not to offend you, but I'll leave it for now. Yeah, all right. And but before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Just commit this time to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for bringing us together here today. And what a great day to learn and just be inspired by you. And we pray for this small group in this room, which is actually kind of a large group. But Lord, we want to commit this time to you, and you have blessed us, and you have forgiven us, and we fall short of your ideal. And so we ask for your help today. I stand here humbly before these men to discuss fathering and daughters, fathering a daughter. And I know that there are men here that are godly men, they're good fathers, and they're just looking for ways to improve and have more insight. And I pray that you might give them wisdom and insight and understanding of their own daughter, so that they might have a way to improve that relationship and make it healthier, make it better, make it more solid, maybe impact their daughter in a way that their daughter is more of a godly woman or godly girl, whichever the case may be, Lord. And so we commit this time to you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us, that you draw us to you, and that we'd be inspired to be the dads that we need to be. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, okay. Sure. Shelley. Now, he introduced us. I don't know. Do you want to say any more about me that he didn't say? Or?
Oh. Well, we have six kids. So Dad has parented six children, four daughters and two sons. We're a blended family. And my dad has been married for 26 and a half years now. And also, I thought this was a very interesting fact. He has parented teenagers for 26 consecutive years.
And Shelley is my second oldest daughter, and when I got married the second time, she was 14, so she was my baby girl for 14 years. And then when I got married, my wife had a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, so the 3-year-old became my third daughter and the baby daughter. And we went ahead and had two more kids, and now our youngest is 22, and she's the baby daughter. But actually, they're all daddy's little girls, so that's kind of nice.
Shelley, also, to tell you a little bit of her background, since she graduated from college at Boston University, she's been a teacher. She taught in Oshkosh. She taught in Indonesia for 6 years. She spent 3 of those years as a missionary there. She taught in Milwaukee. She taught in Madison. She's been involved with children's ministry, and so that's kind of her involvement. She's married to Kent, who is an associate pastor at Bethesda Church in Madison. And so that's her background, and I would love to have all 4 girls here. In fact, I brought a picture of all 4. Well, I'll get it out later. But anyway, I guess I just want to say that, first of all, going back to the Packers, there was a guy that was interviewed this week, this whole thing with the Super Bowl and so on, and he was talking about being a role model, and he wanted to be a role model. And I won't tell you who it is. A lot of you know who I'm talking about. But he wasn't really saying he wanted to be a role model. He's saying he wants to be a good role model because he's really been kind of a bad role model. I think as dads, we want to desire to be a good role model. I mean, that's why you're here. I don't know if there's a whole lot that I'm going to say that you haven't heard before. We're looking at material, and even though I've got 4 children, 4 daughters, and they're all raised, they're all married. I am not an expert. I've read a few books. I tried to get more information. I realized I made a lot of mistakes as I read through some of the books, as I've listened to other people and prepared. But, we could probably spend 3 days talking about being father or daughter. And so what do we do in 40, 50 minutes, you know? So we'll try to pick out some main points and pass them on to you. There were 2 girls, 2 sisters that were in a Christmas play, and one was 14, one was 8, and the 14-year-old was Mary, and the 8-year-old was an angel, and they got in an argument over dinner as to which was the most important part in the play, and finally the 14-year-old said to her younger sister, "Just go ask Dad, or even better, ask Mom, which is harder to be, a virgin or an angel?" So we as dads, I mean, sometimes we really need to have some wisdom in trying to figure out what to say to our daughters about situations. Shelley, what does a girl need from her father?
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. There are definitely some things that girls need from their dads that are different from what boys need. And today we have a little bit of an illustration for you using the compass, 4 different things that we thought were primary of importance that fathers can do to have a healthy relationship with their daughter. And the compass is an important illustration because it really gives us a direction to go. And so we're saying, here this is foundational, this is the direction to go. I actually have been reading through the Bible. I decided to read through the Bible this year. So I've been starting in Genesis and going through. And, there are not very many father-daughter relationships in the Bible. I don't know if you guys know that or not. But, I looked for some daughters in the Bible, and most of them are pretty bad. There's a lot of bad women in the Bible. There's not a lot of good women in the Bible. The one I found in Genesis chapter 24, and this is Rebecca, who ended up being the wife of Isaac. And her father's name was Bethuel. And so I'm just going to mention some things in that chapter of Genesis 24 of how I could tell that Bethuel was a good father to Rebekah. So starting off, we have first that you should have a Christ-centered compass. At first, when I was thinking about this topic, I said, well, you should give her a moral compass. Well, moral isn't really a good enough word because, you can be moral and really not be Christ-centered. And so you need to have a Christ-centered compass for your daughter. And again, be that role model and help her establish a strong relationship with God. And this is going to be the foundational thing of anything that you can do, is to help her go the right direction in her relationship with God. Bethuel did that. He, in Genesis chapter 24, Let me just see where I put that. Genesis chapter 24, verses 18 through 20, and verse 24. Abraham's servant had prayed, "Oh God, lead me to the right person, lead me to the right girl." And when he came to Rebekah and said, "Could you give me a drink of water?" she responded by saying, "Sure, I'll give you a drink of water, and I'll water all your camels, and hey, do you have a place to have dinner tonight, and you want to come over and hang out, and, you know, we got a place to stay if you need a place to stay." She knew he was a stranger. And it was evident to me that her father, Bethuel, had taught her these values of kindness and generosity and hospitality towards strangers. That she was able to freely invite him to come and said, "My father has a place for you in our home." And also, later on in the chapter, verse 50, Bethuel's response to this servant's request to take his daughter. You know, I mean, come on. This guy just walks into town and all of a sudden, "Can I have your daughter for my son, you know, for a wife?" And his response to this was, "The Lord has obviously brought you here. So what can we say? Let it be as the Lord has directed." And he yielded to God. He saw this was evidently God's will. And he said, "Okay, we're going to go with that." And so he was teaching his daughter to yield to the will of the Lord. Wow, you know.
We have some on our handout scripture references that we're going to come refer to from time to time. And I want to look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9. Before we do, I want to ask you some questions. The obvious one is, how many of you have a daughter, at least one daughter? Everybody, okay. I'm trying to get an idea of the audience. And who has daughters between, let's say, under 5 years old? A lot of young dads, I would say 20 or so, okay. And between 5 and 10, let's say. Oh, yeah, okay, at least half, about 35, 40. And how about teenagers? 11 to 19 even, somewhere in there. Okay, about half, okay. And adult daughters, any of you? Good, wow, looks like maybe 20, 25. And anybody has granddaughters? Okay, and I do have 7 grandchildren. We didn't say that, but so 7 or 8 of you, I identify with that too. I have one granddaughter, but 6 grandsons. So that's my background. But does anybody have more than 4 daughters? Okay, I was hoping somebody had 5. I'd invite you down here to teach, you know. So, but I think one of the key verses here is Deuteronomy 6, 5, and so on. I'm going to read it from the message, since it's paraphrased, but I kind of like the way it says it here a little better. "Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got." And really, when I mention role model, that's where it starts. We need to love God ourselves first. If we're going to have a Christ-centered home, it starts with loving God, and then we can go on to our children. But I also want to mention right up front, loving your wife. It's critical to being a role model to your daughters. So loving your wife is where it starts. Loving God, loving your wife, then loving your daughter. So I'm not going to talk a lot about loving your wife because a lot of seminars today are talking about that. But that's really how you love your wife is going to be an example to your daughter. And I would say I have blown it, right? I was married, I was divorced, and I'm remarried. I'm happily married for 26 years. I feel bad that we blew it, for Shelley's and Heather's mom is whatever. I won't get into all that, but I don't, you know, the fact that I ended up in divorce, and something didn't happen right, and I won't tell you all this whole story, but I blew it. And you can go on and you can still be a good dad, even if you're, let me ask you, is anybody a stepdad to a daughter? Okay, so we've got 5 or 6. Anybody so you have stepdaughters, and I can identify with that, since I have one that's 29 years old that I've seen raised her from age 3. And some of the things that we did together just pretty much the same as what I did with the other girls, but after a while, it took a little longer. It took a little longer to get to the point where it was naturally my daughter. Anyway, let me continue the verse. And write these commandments that I have given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get inside them inside of your children. So then you get them inside of your children, after they're inside of you. Talk about them wherever you go, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them with from the time you get up in the morning or when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads and as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. So, you know, not only is this saying to do that for yourself, it's saying to put them in all these places, put scripture in all these places for your children. And I think of it as, you know, it might be bedtime, and we talk about scripture. We pray together. We talk about scripture. I look for opportunities to connect where, you know, something is going on in their life. Maybe they're dating for the first time. Maybe they're doing something in school, some issue with a friend or a teacher. You know, we're looking for opportunities to bring scripture in and pray together and talk about it and what does scripture say about it. And so beginning to have a Christ-centered home and a Christ-following daughter means that I'm living it and then I'm teaching it to her and looking for opportunities to teach it. Two other verses I want to just mention real quick too is Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient and bearing with one another in love. Again, as a father, to be humble and gentle, and I think gentle with a daughter is very important, that you don't crush her spirit, that you don't come down hard on her. And being humble means that, in my mind anyway, that you're transparent, that you're willing to admit your failings and where you've blown it. And if you scolded her or disciplined her incorrectly or wrongly, that you're willing to say something. You know? So to be humble with your daughter. And certainly love is always tying them together. Galatians 5 is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the words that kind of jump out at me there, again, of course, love, but having joy, having patience with your daughter, and the last word in there is self-control. Again, in dealing with my daughter, I don't want to overreact. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to yell at her. I think with girls especially, they are crushed more by the loud talk, loud speech, loud yelling, you know. And I'm also, I guess we didn't say it at the beginning, I'm a former Fayed teacher. So I relate a lot to my kids like I did as a Fayed teacher. And I found that initially when I started teaching, I'd yell at the kids, get in here, come on, gather them. Then I went to the whistle, and that helped a lot. But also I found that often with kids, I just grab them, come on, let's go, you know, physically, or around the shoulder or the head, you know, proper touching. And I don't know how much that's allowed in schools today, but anyway. But the idea of physical guiding a child, a daughter, is often much better than a loud voice. Shelley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. I would say pray with her as often as you can, whether it's at bedtimes, at mealtimes, you know, when she's concerned about something, and encourage her to have a close walk with God. And mm-hmm. I'm very, very thankful that Dad did these things with us. You know, that he brought me to church. I remember being here. I actually can't even remember when we started coming to Elmbrook and running around barefoot here. And this was my home. This was like my second home.
You were 19 when you were running around barefoot.
Yeah. No, I was little. And also showing her the way to a real God that makes a real difference in our lives. You know, it's to my dad's credit that 4 out of 6 of his kids have ended up pursuing ministry of some sort as our careers, as part of our lives, and that we can really see God making a difference in our personal walks and in how we make decisions in our everyday lives. And the last thing is that a girl's view of her father is going to influence how she views her Heavenly Father. And, you know, I even caught myself praying this morning, Father, da-da-da-da, Father, da-da-da-da. And I really have a relationship with my Heavenly Father that I saw such love from my dad. And positive things, generosity, love, kindness from my dad, that I can project that and say, this is how my Heavenly Father loves me. He loves me unconditionally. He loves me so unconditionally, and he's generous, and he cares, and all of these different things that I see as qualities in my own father. And it has helped me in my relationship and my walk with God.
How about the second point is caring, which is...
Dad, I just That's okay. I just wanted to give you, we discussed this at the beginning, that this is a practical workshop, and hopefully you're going to walk out of here with something practical to do on top of just hearing us speak. And I want to give you just a few seconds to respond to that thought of how can you be a better role model? You know, maybe write something down or think of something just right now. Maybe you want to start a new habit with your daughter, playing with her, or praying with her at bedtime if she's little, or praying at meals if you don't already. So just take 10 seconds, a few seconds if you want, and write something down that maybe has hit you from what we just said about a relationship with God.
Got it?
Okay. So the second point that we're going to be talking about then is care. And I actually have this compass. I was in Vietnam some years ago, and I bought this U.S. military-issued compass from a shop in Hanoi, Vietnam.
She didn't fight in the war there or anything.
Yeah. I brought it from a shop. But, you know, it's a really nice compass. It's a really fancy one. If you're nice to me, I might let you touch it. and look at it. It's really cool. Glow-in-the-dark, north, west, and east, and a bunch of different scales on there, and a bunch of extra gadgets, too. And I thought, you know, this is an expensive compass. It's not cheap. It's very valuable. And if I were a man in Vietnam, or if I were someone that was depending on this compass, I would take very good care of this compass. I would value it, and I would care for it, and make sure nothing happened to it, because my life might depend on this. And it is very valuable. And so, with that note, your daughter is a treasure. Obviously, you know that. And you need to show her care. And with that, also known as compassion or closeness, ways that you can be close with your daughter.
And one way you can show care and compassion is through affection, through physical touch. I kind of mentioned that a little bit already. But, you know, to you young dads, and let me just mention a few things that you can do. In that way. And I'm sure a lot of you will say, yeah, that's a good reminder. I've heard that before, but, you know, it's good. It's important to point out, I think, as a young dad, and many of you, 25 or so, have young children, and maybe some of you that are grandparents have young granddaughters, you know, to me, it seemed like my parents' generation, the dads kind of went to work and didn't do much with the kids until they were a little older, and it seemed like my generation, fathers started getting more involved with their kids. And it seems like now the 20s and the 30s-somethings are a lot more involved as dads. That's the way it seems to me. I'm not sure. But what I would say is that don't wait until they're six to start doing stuff with your daughters. You know, from the day they're born. In fact, many people would say before they're born, start singing to them in the womb. I never really did that. But, you know, or talking to them in the womb. But I think, really, from day one, I mean, I changed my granddaughter in the hospital on the first day she was born. I changed her diaper. Get involved with care right away. Changing diapers, feeding, getting up in the middle of the night, you know, whatever, helping out. I mean, if your wife's nursing, I know you don't do all that stuff. But, you know, when they do get on solid food, you can. And to me, one of the greatest things was just holding my little baby girl and rocking her to sleep. You know, I mean, I didn't wait till I was 60 or 70 years old to sit in a rocking chair. I thought, let's have a rocking chair when they're young, you know, and rock them to sleep or sing to her. I think all four of my daughters love to sing, and I'm thinking, I wonder why. But, you know, that to me was a good way to get close right away. And the other thing is, as opposed to sons, and I think we often roughhouse it with boys much more than girls, but, you know, it's good to be with girls tender and tough, to be gentle and rough with your girls as well. And you know, when they're starting to crawl, you can get down and crawl on the floor with them. You can, you know, I thought to one guy who was a wrestling coach. He wrestled with his daughters, you know. But, you know, nothing wrong with rolling around. I mean, as a Phi Ed teacher, here's my illustration of the day. Every one of my daughters, this is me laying on my back here, hands up in the air. Every one of my daughters learned to stand up on my arms laying flat, you know. And they all learn to balance on my feet and sprawl out, you know.
Airplane
style, you know, that way. All I can do is stick figures. But they all, we had all kinds of gymnastic stunts we did together. And that was a good way to get physically close to them. And it didn't matter. Shelley learned to swim when she was 4 months old. I knew how from Phi Ed classes how to teach a baby to swim in underwater and so on. And it was a great thing, Shelley and Heather both, and the other kids, you know. I don't know if I should say this. My wife, being a physical therapist, she did not think I should tell people how I threw them up in the air and caught them. But, you know, the girls, you know, love this, and it's a good way to get close to them. Later on, you know, you can do... you know, play games with them, find something to laugh about, you know, every day. Find something to talk. I have another handout that I'm going to give you at the end. It has 10 things you can do on a date with your daughter. So one of the things I'm doing today is hopefully being more of a resource for you. We have a book list, some great books on being fathers, Daddy's Little Girl, James Dobson books on raising daughters, and so I've got that about 6-7 books on the list with 10 questions, 10 things you can do on a date with your daughter, and there's a list of probably 25-30 questions. If you run out of questions to ask your daughter, that sit down and find a moment to connect, and you can ask these questions. You know, so. And it's good for any age, because some of the questions are good for earlier ages, some are better for later. Oh, also, one thing I want to address with affection, too, is just, in my experience, all of my daughters, around 10, 11, or 12, really didn't want to be hugged anymore. And I'm a hugger. I hugged them all their lives. I kept hugging them. They didn't want to be hugged. They didn't push me away, but they didn't think they wanted to be hugged, and I hugged them anyway. I think you need to find that as they get through this time when they're changing, their bodies are changing, and maybe they're not comfortable with themselves, it's okay to put your arm around them, pat them on the head, give her a big hug. And I would say all of them got through that. You know, when they're teens, someplace they like getting hugged again.
Can I just say, too, yeah, on that point, this is really important. You know, the father's affection, it's very important. My husband now tells me, and he says, I can't thank your dad enough.
He thanks me all the time.
He thanks him all the time. And I have these memories of my dad standing in the hallway when I was a teenager and blocking the hallway and saying, give me a hug first, you know, I can't go by. And, okay, Dad, you know. But it's so great because my husband says, you know, now I understand Shelly better and I can give her the affection like her father gave her affection. And it's a really good thing. It's a really good thing. And I also wanted to say that some of those memories of playing and going on dates with my dad are some of the best memories that I have.
You've heard it said probably already that love is spelled T-I-M-E. So time, you really need to look. I think you need to look for time. You have to find time to connect with your daughter. And that might be bedtime, might be lunchtime. You know, going out on a lunch date in the middle of a school day was a great thing. If you know, if your schedule allows it, you can get away. picking her up at school, taking her out. She tells all the other kids and her friends, and they're all jealous. And then she's leaving. She's telling everybody, I'm going out for lunch with my dad. You know, so it's kind of a nice thing. And then plus you have that connection time. Dinner time, you know, stay and dwell over dinner, you know, and have a chance to talk after dinner. And that's could be a spiritual time, could be a question time, just how was your day or whatever. I think of game time. I think of talking time. I think of prayer time. I think of vacation time. Going on vacation together as a family was always a good time to talk and play games and connect. And I wrote out a whole long thing of what all the things that happen in a car while you're driving, you know. And I'm going to just share a few of them, but I think driving time can be very significant. I often volunteered, you know, when nobody else would drive the kids to, you know, five or six kids had to get somewhere. I'd say, I'll drive, you know, because I liked hearing them talk in the back seat or talk with each other. And sometimes it was just one-on-one with my daughter. But early on, I drive my daughter to school. And she would initially, probably in kindergarten, went in and said hi to the teacher and said goodbye and left. Then the next thing you know, I'm dropping her off at school, and she says goodbye. And then she gets out of the car and waves goodbye again and waves goodbye a third time. And the fourth thing finally goes in. Next thing I know, she just gets out and runs, says, bye, Daddy-o, and goes running into school. And then next thing you know, she wants me to drop her off a block away from school so she can walk in with her friends. And the next thing I'm driving, you know, many years later, she's driving to school. And she's got her temps. And I'm riding with her. And I have to grab the steering wheel a couple times and make sure she didn't get in an accident. Next thing I know, she's driving herself to school. And then a couple years later, I'm driving her to college. And I unload her furniture for her stuff and take it in and put it in her dorm and get her set up and say goodbye. And then the next thing I know, she's driving herself to college. And she stops at the gas station and texts me and says, Dad, Mom, I love you guys. She goes back to college. I don't want to be in college away from my mom and dad. You know? And last June, all four of my daughters are married. The fourth one got married last June. And by chance, I drove her to church. And it just struck me that this is the last time I'm going to drive with her as a single woman. And tears started flowing out of my eyes. And just thinking, she's going to be married and I no longer have a little girl anymore. Of course, I found out soon that all four of them being married, they're still daddy's little girls, and I still see them a lot and talk to them a lot. But driving times together were always significant times, or can be significant times. Wasn't long after that, one of my daughters comes driving over and drops the kids off, said, Dad, Mom, would you watch the kids while I go shopping? And then next thing you know, Dad, me, I'm driving my grandkids someplace, going to get ice cream or going to see the moon or the sunset or the Christmas lights or the fireworks, you know. So driving times can be very significant. Shelley?
So another area where you can show care for your daughter is by protecting her.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want to protect her. You know, in a lot of ways, this is still a male-dominant culture. And, you know, especially when they get to be the preteen, the teenage years, I could probably talk a lot about technology. And, you know, right now that's something that you really have to be aware of. In fact, if you don't know about that, make sure you connect with somebody that can talk to you more about the security of technology. But, you know, definitely when they get to be preteen and teenagers, their boyfriends, you want to be the stopping point. You say, hey, you know, what's going on? And even protecting her in her relationships. I like what Dad was saying about the driving time. And I have a vivid memory, too, of when he was with us and there were several of us girls and we're all sitting there chit-chatting in the back of the car. Well, you know what's going on in your daughter's life if you're hanging around her and her friends. And you're protecting her to have the right kind of friends, too, that she's making the right choices and not wrong ones. The Bible says that the woman is a weaker sex, and that's not emotionally, but it's definitely physically still. And so there's this element of protection. And girls are more sensitive than boys, too. If you have sons and daughters, you might notice this difference in how you treat them. Dad was kind of mentioning this a little bit earlier about the kindness and gentleness. And I just wanted to share this illustration with you. I heard that boys are like bulls and girls are like butterflies. And when the wind comes along against the bull, it sort of, you know, he just kind of stands there, doesn't do anything. But when the wind comes along for the butterfly is taken away by the wind. And that is also something that has helped my husband, because I said my dad was very gentle with us and protected us. And, you know, so you have to be gentle more so with the daughters because of their sensitive spirits. And you had an illustration
yes.
to share.
One thing I would say to you, fathers of teens, I think it's a good way of protecting your daughter to make sure you talk to their dates, whatever, potential boyfriend, you know. And one of my handouts is that interview, but it's a very humorous one. It's not, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in it, but I just threw it in there because it's kind of humorous. But in the serious part of it is that, yeah, take some time. One person I was reading, one of the books I was reading was talking about how he had a boy come in, an 18-year-old, wants to date a 16-year-old daughter, 2 years older, he's an athlete, and he's good-looking, and, you know, what's this guy going to do? And turns out he owns a car, so he starts talking about the car, and he's just very proud of his car and all the things he did to fix it up, get it better, and get it looking good and polishing it, and he asked more, and he says, well, you know, if I came over to your house tomorrow, would you let me drive it? He said, oh, no, you know, I wouldn't let you drive my car. It's too nice, you know, and I don't even hardly know you, you know. And of course, he fell for the bait. And basically, the dad said, well, this is my daughter. I hardly know you. And this is my jewel. This is my diamond. She's you know, she's precious to me. And I want to make sure you take as good a care of her as you do your car. In fact, I want you to take better care of her than you do your car. And, you know, I thought this was a good point that we need to take time to get to know our daughter's boyfriend or potential date or whatever, and you know, maybe a few years later she's 22 or 24, and you know, the question come up, well, do you still interview the boyfriend or the man friend, the guy? And well, hopefully at the age 24 she's now learned from you how to interview and how to ask questions and get to know the guy before she goes out on a date with him. And so you're showing her how to protect herself. Not only are you protecting her, but you're showing her how. So I like that illustration of watching out for your daughter's potential suitors and so on. And she'll feel a lot more confident and secure because of your protecting her.
And the last point that we have in this area of care is to give her security and safety. Hopefully you're developing such a relationship with your daughter that she will never be afraid to come to you. And I knew I had a good enough relationship with my dad that no matter what happened, I could always confide in him, and that was safe. I could talk to him about anything. And he still loved me. It was an unconditional love. And he helped me through my mistakes when I really messed up with my finances, you know, or I had a problem with a boyfriend, or I crashed the car. Yeah, I like totaled the car. Well, how do you think I felt when I came to my dad to tell him? But yeah. But what was his response? His response was so positive towards me. Are you okay? You know, it's his first question. Not, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, are you okay? And so the security and the safety that you provide, that she can come to you with anything, and there will be the unconditional love and response. In Genesis 24, verses 59 and 60, they're sending Rebecca off. And they said goodbye to Rebecca and sent her away. And then it says the woman who had been Rebecca's childhood nurse went along with her. They blessed her with this blessing as she departed. And so they were taking care of her. You know, I thought of this. She only had one person that she knew going with her, and it was this childhood nurse. Thank goodness that Rebecca had a friend to go with her into this strange situation. And that was her way of taking care of Rebecca as she went off. And they sent her off with a bunch of things. So we give you just a couple of seconds to respond if you have a thought that you want to jot down for the area of care. In something.
What you can do for your daughter. Okay, the third area is consistency. And part of that is discipline, giving her boundaries and yet giving her freedom. Freedom to make decisions, freedom to basically from little on they start getting more and more freedom throughout their lives. And as teenagers they want all freedom, but they still need boundaries. So being able to establish boundaries, I'm not going to tell you what to do there, but you know, you need to set out your own rules or boundaries and yet be flexible too.
With our compass illustration, the compass is always consistent. It's always going to point north, no matter what. And so you want to have the kind of consistency that the compass does, always pointing in the same direction, always pointing to the Lord, always being consistent with setting your standards. You know, as a teacher, I know that in my classroom, if I have the same expectation for all my students all the time, they're going to behave well for me. And at first they might go, I don't want to do that. Miss Sopa, you know, why I got to do this? You know, but if I set the same standard with kindness and I'm consistent all the time, then my classroom runs so much more smoothly. And so it's the same thing with your kids. Proverbs 29, verses 17 and 18 says, discipline your children and they will give you happiness and peace of mind. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy. And you know, Rebecca, in Genesis 24, verses 15 through 22, she was a shepherdess. And she was carrying jugs of water and expected to take care of the animals. And you know what? Even from a young age, she had to do that. And you can have those kind of expectations, healthy expectations that your daughter will contribute and have chores and things like this. This is all having to do with discipline and consistency because she's going to learn a work ethic in her life as well.
One thing you can do also to be consistent, to help your daughter have consistency, is just to prepare her as she as her life changes, as she transitions from one stage to another. You know, kind of help her go from being at home all day as a four-year-old to being in kindergarten. You know, that's a transition. Help her to know what to expect a little bit. Help her to know when she goes from elementary school to middle school or from middle school to high school, and certainly high school to college. That's a big transition time. Moving away from home is a big transition time. Getting married, you know, is a transition. Kind of prepare her for what's ahead, and even as her body changes, give her an idea. And I know most of that's coming from the mom, and that's probably where it should come from. But I think dad, we can be involved with that too. You know, that's not just all mom and daughter. You know, the dad can us dads can get in and help explain even what boys are looking at in the girls and how is your thought life, you know, and how was your thought life when you were a teenager and now you know these guys out there are interacting with your daughter, maybe not even dating, but they're in school with her, you know. So let your daughter know what guys are thinking, you know, or what, you know, guys might be like, you know, not that they're all the same, but that'll help her with her consistency.
And the last section that we have for you, the last point on our compass, is complete confidence. That you are helping develop complete confidence in your daughter. And this has to do with her identity, that she has self-confidence in who she is. And no matter who she is Again, the unconditional love. You love her and you approve of her and you think she's great. And as far as our compass illustration goes, you know, if I was lost and I completely didn't know my surroundings at all, had no clue about any landmarks, and the sky was dark and nothing to guide me, I would have to put complete confidence in my compass. I would have nothing else to depend on. And so we're going to talk about complete confidence that your daughter can have in herself. And then also in Proverbs 31, you know that it talks about the godly woman and the noble wife. It says the wife of noble character, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. And so when your daughter is a person who has complete confidence, then her husband can also have confidence in her later on in life. We see this with Rebecca in Genesis 24, verses 57 and 58. They said, "We'll call Rebecca and ask her what she thinks about going with this man." So they called Rebecca and said, "Are you willing to go with this man?" they asked her. And she replied, "Yes, I will go." And she was confident. She was okay with herself. And she said, "I'm good. I can go." I'll tell you what, from my earliest memories, I wanted my dad's approval. I was a daddy's girl, and I loved to hear him say, "I love that you're a girl," you know, and that it was a great thing that I was a girl. And I'm glad you're who you are, and that whoever you are, you just be that. Whether you play with dolls or you play with trucks and you climb trees. That's great. Be all into that. You know, I support that, whatever it is.
By the way, I've heard that tomboys can be some of the best wives. So I've heard that said. So, you know, I don't mind if girls are being tomboys.
So. And, you know, Dad's saying, "I love the fact that you're a girl." Also, whatever it is that your daughter wants to talk about, be interested in that. If horses are her hobby, make that your hobby, too. I have a pastor friend, and he has also three daughters, and one of his daughters is just madly in love with horses. And so he goes riding with her and, you know, spends time looking at her hobby and horses with her and, you know, all this stuff. And just she just loves it. And so, you know, whatever that hobby is that your daughter is into, make that your hobby, too, and find out about it. Also, I have a friend that I had a conversation with recently. And he has two teenage daughters and one almost teen, and you know what those are like. Anyway, in a conversation, he said something that really stuck with me about his three daughters. He said, "Any truly confident girl will hug her dad in public." And he went to school, he's telling us, he went to school to pick up his oldest daughter. And he said something really dorky in front of all of her friends. And, of course, she was like, "Oh, you know, Dad, that was really dumb to say." But she gave him a big hug anyway in front of all her friends. And, you know, because he said he teaches his daughters, this is what all girls really want. They'll envy you because they all really want to have a great relationship with their dad. So never be afraid to hug your dad in public. Because that's what everybody wants.
Another thing you can do, or some things you can do to build confidence, is to find out what she's interested in and be interested in it. And I liked coaching their teams. If they got on a team, if I could be a coach or assistant coach, that was a good way to connect and be involved and support her. You know, if she's in sports, go watch the games. If she's in band, go watch, listen to the band concert. And if she's in forensics, go hear the speech contest. She chooses a college now, it's usually a joint decision, but, you know, support her decision for her college. And if she's making whatever decisions she's making, if they're not drastic and wrong, you know, you want to support the right decisions for sure, you know, but to be behind her and encourage her and give her confidence in her decisions. We're gonna try to save a few minutes, maybe 5 or 7 minutes. We got about 10 minutes to go, so just for a question. So if you can think of any questions you want to ask us, we'll try to address those in the last few minutes.
Yeah, and I just wanted to tag on, too. I know we had a question one other time about purity and how can I help my daughter with being sexually pure. And I was thinking about that as we were preparing this time, because that's a big question. And, one thing I would really say is I think if you're developing these four things, if you're giving her a Christ-centered compass, if you're teaching her to have complete confidence in herself so that she's a strong enough self-identity to say no when she needs to say no, if you're caring for her, and what was the other one? If you're being consistent with her, if you're doing those things, I think you're doing the right things to help her make the right choices and be sexually pure as well.
And I just want to conclude and just point out some major benefits to your daughter to having a healthy relationship with her dad. I mean, I'm sure you're motivated already, but the relationship you have with your wife, keep in mind that that relationship will be the standard for which your daughter has for her future husband. So if you set your standard in your marriage high and you really court your wife, you do the things you should be doing, date her, and have a good relationship, that's her standard for her future husband. Second one is her view of you as a father will influence her view of the father, the godly father. So your view, her view of you, so be a good role model so she can have a good view of God as she gets older. And the third thing is the most important male in a girl's life is her father. Most important male in a girl's life is her father. Keep that in mind. And I would say that the motivation isn't just for being, for your daughter, isn't just making a godly daughter, but there's also the motivation that, in my mind anyway, being a dad is one of the greatest joys and blessings in life. And the more that you can connect with your daughter, the better father you can be, the greater the blessing is. And no matter what you're doing, what your work is, whatever you're doing in life, I mean, there's really nothing more important than finding ways to be a good dad to your daughter and making sure that she has the time and attention that she needs. And so I've passed around that handout with four or five different pages on it. And questions, the questions I thought were good, some of the things you can ask, I don't have it in front of me. But anyway, do you have any questions that you can ask your daughter? It's great to be able to sit down at lunchtime or dinner time or bedtime. Sometimes we'd talk at bedtime for half an hour, an hour. We'd pray together and we'd just have these long conversations. The other time that I thought was a good connecting time, when they were out with a group or with a date, they'd come back at midnight and they'd want to talk. I mean, midnight was when they'd want to talk. Midnight to 1 a.m. or whatever. So I tried to be awake and available when they got home. You have questions? What? Yeah, go ahead.
I just have one. When you had the conversation, the Bible is very clear about this, is that when you're a Christian, you're a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, God is very specific about that he wants you to marry another follower or believer in Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ. Okay?
Yes.
How did you have that conversation?
Yes.
As you approach the mate, because obviously this goes back in the days of Israel when you brought two gods into the family, which is,
So the question is make sure your daughter is marrying somebody equally yoked, basically being equally yoked and making sure your daughter is. And I would say that one thing I did with my future son-in-laws, one of the best meetings I ever had was when they wanted to come and talk to me about asking. I made sure that my daughter communicated that he had to ask me. He had to ask me. But I really didn't make it. I didn't make it an intimidating thing, event. I didn't make it a time where, you're on the spot. But I remember having some great conversations with them. And, I had a list of questions in every case, things I wanted to know about him and maybe some things I already knew, but I wanted to reiterate. So to me, it was a very good time to go out to lunch, go out to dinner, go out for breakfast or coffee or something. But just to have a time, one-on-one time with him and find out where he stood spiritually, how he was going to, plan to support my daughter, so to speak, or, how they were going to keep their spiritual lives going together. And so, yeah, I think it's good to have that conversation with a future son-in-law about, you know, all the things, the aspects that, you know, even, I mean, you can get into, you know, the physical, the social, the spiritual, financial, and all the major areas of a marriage, and discuss them. And it's good for him to help him clarify. Sometimes that's what it did. It helped clarify what he might be doing.
Just a quick response to that from me as well. Probably one of the biggest things for me in going the right direction, you know, as a teenager, preteen, the first person I dated, I was 14 years old, which was too young, you know.
And you weren't allowed to date till you were 16.
I wasn't allowed to date until I was 16, but he said I could go over to the, I went to the movie with the little brother along, and then I went over to the house. No, you let me.
Oh, okay.
And then I went over to their house and had dinner with the mom, and so that wasn't really a date, okay? So we really weren't dating. We were just, you know.
Dan, I remember his name.
Right, the preteen. Anyway. The point is, I knew from early on that there was no way that I would even date somebody who was not a Christian. I had to know that right from the start before we even started dating, because that was I was like, there's no way I'm not marrying somebody who's not a Christian, so there's no way I'm going to date somebody who's not a Christian, and I never did. And, you know, I think part of that was maybe talking about it around the house, but a big part of that was just going to church and having that instilled in my life from being a youth, and especially, you know, in junior high and high school, they would talk about
question?
It in church.
Yeah, my daughter's married 5 years. She's 26 and lives in Bakersfield, California, which is 2,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. What ideas or suggestions do you have to keep connection or communication?
Did my notes.
he's good at that.
Yeah.
No, you know, I used to live in Indonesia, and we had my brother in India and another brother.
The question was how to stay in touch,
right,
with
to
your daughter,
touch,
yes,
right.
When she's at a distance. Yes, okay.
Yeah, he's good at that. He does Skype and texting and anything that you can.
Email, cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, you know, there's so many great ways now, and no matter where they are, you know, one just moved to Eau Claire from Brookfield now, and you know, we're on Skype with her and our two little grandsons a lot more than we were, you know. But, you know, it's like all the different means. And I would say if you're divorced and your kids are living with their mom, or any of these situations where you're apart, even while the kids are young, don't give up on the communication.
Right.
You know, it could be the old-fashioned just write a letter. But I think it's important to stay in touch. You know, sometimes with today's technology, it might be just a text message or something on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, now we can all get on Facebook. It's not just college age. And
and you can kind of make it a date, too. You know, even when I lived on the other side of the world, mm-hmm. I would have a specific time and date that I would have a phone call with my parents. They didn't have all the technology at that point. But, you know, specific time and date, and that was my kind of date with my parents, even when I was that far away.
We got one more minute. If there's not one more question, someone.
I got one question.
Yes.
I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I always struggle. You know, there's a lot of technology out there, like you said. Mm-hmm. You know, cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, and all that. Mm-hmm. And she convinced me to get her a phone at 13. You know, and I think I had a conversation with these gentlemen at lunchtime about. You know, when I was growing up, there was no phone. There was no computers, no phones. People wrote letters. You went outside. You talked face to face. Now it's a different world.
Absolutely.
And
you have a 13-year-old. Just for everybody here, the 13-year-old, and how do you stay in touch with her? And
well, no, not so much how you stay in touch, but how do you, you know, there's a lot of parental controls out there that streamline all the Facebook and all this other stuff. And we kind of debate back and forth about, hey, you know, I want a Facebook. I got to have this. And I'm like, you know, there's a lot of good stuff with Facebook, but there's and the different.
Do you give her a cell phone? Do you give her Facebook?
Yeah,
do you give her all these different things? Yeah.
You know, what's your thought on that? I mean, I'm kind of reluctant to say, hey, get on Facebook. There's so much stuff. If people get your identity, they bully on that type of stuff. You know, and kids can be malicious and stuff like that. So I worry about that stuff. You know, when I.
Yeah, where do you set the limits? And
right.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can be brief and answer. Do you have an answer?
I think that when we talk about consistency, have a standard and stick with it. Dad said, you can't date till you're 16. I couldn't date until I was 16. I really didn't. And so, you know, whatever you think is the guideline, set it and stick with it. And I would say, make sure you get in touch with somebody who knows about, I don't really even as a teacher know about it as much as I ought to because I'm not a parent yet. But I do see teenagers that are on there that I go, oh, this is questionable what they're doing on Facebook. And Brody Swanson,
yeah.
Is the junior high pastor here. He's got some really, really excellent material. And a
That's
video
Brandon Brown.
That you
Brandon
need to
Brown,
watch.
Yeah. Brody is the children's pastor.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Right. Thank you for correcting me. Brandon. Anyway.
Yeah. Brown.
They have some really excellent stuff. I only know about it because I was working children's ministry with Brody, and he was introducing it to us. Even for children, elementary age, you need to know this too. If you're in today's society, you just need to know it.
It's been a pleasure being here with you. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
Yep. How do we turn this off? See, you're better at technology than me.
I don't see a stop button.
Thank you, too, very much.
Yeah, you're